bill as you have it, simply through slippage, there was a page of a memorandum submitted to the commission early on by the Federation of Natives that had been missed. And that, in effect, are the technical amendments that were adopted, that were proposed by the Federation of Natives and are incorporated among these both amendments this morning. The third source of these amendments is the Council for Alaska Airlines. Alaska Airlines is one of the groups that carefully reviewed the bill, and they had certain problems that they pointed out. The commission agreed that the problems they raised would also be, they were not major changes, but the commission agreed that they would be problems for other corporations as well. Therefore, the changes that they proposed are included among the amendments, specifically the provision that a bylaw that provides for staggered terms of directors will remain valid if it was if it conforms to requirements that would otherwise be in the articles of incorporation under this code. That in effect makes the requirement prospective that staggered terms of directors must be provided in articles and not in bylaws. Another provision that Alaska Airlines proposed was simply a reading of their reading of the act, that Treasury shares, well, the act does away with the concept of Treasury shares, but they had commitments to, they had purchased Treasury shares, repurchased shares, for the purpose of their pension plans, and they were committed contractually to use these Treasury shares. The change to accommodate them on that matter, which was a valid concern, is included in the letter of intent that's attached to these amendments and was adopted in the Senate. It simply helps to clarify that there was a contractual commitment involving Treasury shares would not be affected by the terms of this bill. Those are the two concerns of Alaska Airlines. Concerns of the Federation of Natives are more numerous. They are technical to and corrective of certain errors, and I can go over each of these amendments in sequence, if you wish. I just generally described their nature.
All right. I don't really. I would like to, if you kind of, you are through with the overview of the amendments. The last time we had a hearing, I talked about the liabilities of the directors, and as this new change in some of the ways it's been in the past. And I was wondering, the thing that concerned me was perhaps a corporation that was in trouble, as we've seen happen many times, found someone that could possibly pull that out of financial difficulties, have the capability of doing it, would maybe be reluctant to do that if they were faced with some liabilities as it came into the corporation, you know, as a director or something. Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chairman, if I could answer that, and that's a very good question. There's two reasons under the proposed act that the person would not be liable. First of all, the person would not be liable if he was not a director, and most people that take the job as the CEO of a corporation are not directors. Only in the case where he's a director, and that's a very, very small percentage of the cases, would that person be liable. Secondly, if the person were a director by some fluke, the problem could be solved very neatly by getting a writing from the creditors. The creditors would probably be more interested in that corporation reorganizing because it would secure their debt and ensure the payment of it, would then be able to sign a writing that would waive that director's liability.
Not that I've had a default corporation, but I have been in a position to be one of the creditors to one, and certainly it's not been an attractive situation to sign anything. When I don't know how effective that would be to go around to get everybody to agree. You know,
the director, Judge Sturton, correct me wrong, would be responsible for prospective debts, but not retrospective debts also. And that's a significant advantage. You can sit down with your creditors and say, you know, we'll continue to do business, but we want some protection from liability. And certainly any of the past problems of the corporation, which really are the significant ones, would not be charged against the new director coming in to reorganize the corporation.
But there's some situations where, say, if we relate to equipment or in construction work, where this is passed, somebody have something out on lease or a major part of the project with leased equipment or that were past payments due and everything. Somebody come in to the corporation to pull it out. You're not going to. I mean, the equipment is going to stay right on through. There might be some past debts and some future debts on that equipment. And there's some situations where I wonder if that could be how we could address a situation like that.
One comment. First of all, with equipment, your equipment would be secured, and the liability goes to those, again, Judge Arong or Mr. Reagan, unsecured creditors. And the equipment is secured by various chattel mortgages, chattel agreements, and then in most cases you have other forms of security on that equipment. That would the intent of the liability, and it really is a limited liability for directors, is for those unsecured workmen and small creditors. There is a $25,000 limit, which, as you know, with equipment, hardly pays for your maintenance.
Sure.
I used to work for Peter Kiewit Sons,
sure.
And I've been all, you know, been all through this. And generally, there's the equipment is covered by various chattel agreements and security agreements.
Well, I wasn't thinking of loan purchased equipment. I was thinking like of either equipment that was being rented or leased for various projects or something, and the project had to proceed if it was going to be, you know, to where it wasn't necessarily a liability or a long-term liability or a loan. I can understand that.
Mr. Chairman, the limit would be $25,000.
To the whole corporation or to each individual?
To that individual creditor. For example, NC Machinery, $25,000 is a pretty small amount.
Sure.
I'm sure you wrote a lot of checks to them, and that's a fairly small amount for heavy equipment.
I feel that I've contributed quite much. but so what you're saying that $25,000, if you had 10, that would be $250,000. That possibility
exists if they were to stack up bunch of small creditors. Mm-hmm. The problem on the other side is there have been some significant abuses, and I don't know whether you've been on the receiving end of them or not, the people will incorporate run up a number of debts, then just walk away from the corporation. Yeah. And you can do that in seriatim under the law of Alaska today. It's unfortunate, and it harms a lot of workmen, small businessmen in the state.
I agree. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the Secretary of the Code Revision Commission has typed a transcript of the hearing here January 23rd, and on page 12 and 13 of that transcript, which probably is not before you, but I believe the committee staff has... Page 11 through 13, and on page 13 particularly, is where Professor Bessert addressed that question, if you want to wish to refer back to it.
Yes.
Generally speaking, I would also agree with the comments that have been made by Senator Rohde. There's an effort to hit a balance here, and the commission feels that it has hit a reasonable balance. The committee might disagree, but it has been quite carefully considered.
Questions?
I only have one question on the AFN. I believe it's an AFN recommendation that on the second page 149, line 20, notwithstanding the provision of the federal plan of merger, consolidation, and exchange qualified under this section, prior to December 19, 1999, which is the date of which the native corporation, shall not include the right of shareholders to dissent. Now, what is the effect of that, and why is that even included?
The only reason for that provision is to conform to Section 30 of the Native Claims Settlement Act. That Section 30 is attached also to some materials that I sent over the other day, which may be in front of you. The Section 30 provides for merger of village and regional corporations, and once the majority has voted for the merger, under the federal act, the usual rights of dissenters under state law do not apply. That's until 1991. And putting that into our act does not change anything because the federal law is in place. And that's the whole intent of the change.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge Stewart.
For your record, my name is Tom Stewart. I'm a retired judge of the Superior Court suffering laryngitis this morning. I'm a member of the Code Revision Commission by designation of the Chief Justice. I'm not helpful to you on the substance of this bill. My appointment to the commission occurred after the major work had been done on the bill. So my participation has not been in drafting or preparing the substance, nor affecting materially the policy provisions that it expresses. I thought it might be of interest to you to know, however, that for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, I have sat through the extensive hearings that have been held in various quarters, and I've had some effect perhaps on, for example, getting the arrangement for a special subcommittee of the Alaska Federation of Natives appointed to aid us in making sure that the bill did not harm the interest of the Native corporations, either village or regional. What we did mechanically was to go to each of the 13 corporations by correspondence and invite them to participate in a discussion on the bill to determine its impact on the Native corporations, both village and regional, and to indicate to us a mechanism by which we could have the critical and fairly intensive dialogue to make certain that the provisions were harmonious with the Alaska Native Claims Act provisions, recognizing that in 1991 that their stock would become alienable and it would be regulated by state law rather than by federal law. And as a result of those initial conversations, they appointed this subcommittee, which basically was composed of attorneys from certain of the corporations, about four of them, who did meet with us on several occasions. In addition, I attended meetings of the Alaska Bar Association, the convention in Anchorage 2 years ago, and in other public hearings, listening to comments, listening to Bill being explained in detail by Professor Fessler, who is, in my knowledge, a distinguished student of this subject, nationally recognized for his work in the field. And I'm convinced from that experience that this is a, would be a major step forward in clarifying, making easier for both persons in the corporate business world and outside of it who must deal with such organizations to make much clearer their rights and responsibilities, and to put Alaska in the forefront of people and the modern concepts of the law in this field. And I'm satisfied, for what it's worth to you, in my mind, that these things would be accomplished by the enactment of this legislation. I'm not prepared to deal with you in detail.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did have one question which pertains more to the Native Corporation than to the law before us. I know there was some pressure to somehow write legislation that would not, that would keep the stock the way it is now, but I don't think there is any.
That's not in this bill.
That's not in this bill, and in fact, I would wonder whether it would be necessary. Has there been any discussion of negotiating or drawing up trust documents? And Boston families are well known for keeping the money from it.
Not in our exchanges with the Native Corporations people. I presume they would have to go to the Congress to.
Couldn't they negotiate them privately? I mean, there are certainly private trust documents
possible
that are quite effective in for what they are
possible.
Do you have any comments different from what we're about covering, or could you briefly the difference between the liability of directors in this new difference from the current statutes of that liability, how it differs?
I was not involved in drafting that language, nor have I examined it with care. I'm satisfied from the discussions with Professor Fessler, with two members, with three members, Senator Rohde and Mr. Abbott and Mr. Kurtz, who were involved in the drafting of it, that it indeed, policy-wise, strikes a balance in providing some protection to small creditors without laying horrendous liabilities upon the directors who are responsible for the business decisions that may give rise to the credit-debt relationship. And that it provides a measure of protection to the what we call the small businessmen dealing with corporate entities, so that they aren't completely left out in the cold. It doesn't affect shareholders in any way because the assets of the corporation would be reachable anyhow. But it seems to me in today's business world that it's not, that the limit that you're talking about, maybe $250,000 for the whole group, but the limits that are talked about are within reasonable ranges. I think it's a desirable policy approach. I know it's followed in a minority of states, but it's in those states that have recognized the realities of problems of small business dealing with corporate entities. As a policy matter, I would vote for it.
How many other states have got similar?
I'm sure that California does, and I think New York does. And how many others, I don't know. Professor Fessler would be able to tell you that because he's reviewed corporate laws of all the states. I understand he's to be available in about 20 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, if I could comment, the a similar provision, but not exactly the same one, is well, it is in the minority of states. It is those states in which the majority of business activity takes place. So, in terms of, if you want to look at dollars and corporate activity, the this provision is gaining acceptance. I think both from the point of view of the commission, both Mr. Abbott and Mr. Kurtz, represented represent a major corporation and the shareholders. And in fact, that is their primary legal work, and they know how it's done. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not in the corporate.
Yes, I would like to note that Representative Wimpy is present. Any questions? More questions? Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Kirkpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Willis Kirkpatrick. I'm Director of Banking Securities Corporation. I urge adoption of the bill before you. We've had an opportunity, and we appreciate it, to work with the Alaska Code Revision Commission that basically are on set, I believe, in their task in this new corporate code. My staff had looked at it very closely in regards to the administration of it as far as the Department of Commerce is concerned. And we have found that that we would have no problem in the administration. It doesn't really differ that much from the way that we administrate the present Alaska Business Corporation Code. There's one thing that I'd like to point out that this will be a tremendous advantage both for the state and the administering the new act, but also the practitioner, the individual out there that is thinking about the corporate entity, and those legal practitioners who are dealing with the corporate entity. And that is that Alaska law is basically void of any common law activity as far as courts are concerned in the various aspect of corporate law. I believe that this act was, our present act was taken from Oregon, which was in turn taken from the Model Act. And a lot of times the state, my staff and myself are asked to interpret various sections of the act and the present act, and we find it very difficult. In most cases where it's the corporate practitioner, we refer them to legal counsel, but we find a lot of times that our questions come from legal counsel as what is the intent of certain sections. And the Alaska Code Revision Commission, along with producing what we feel is a fine corporate act, has also produced official comments to that act, and we intend to use those comments as a guide for ourselves and for the corporate practitioner and the legal practitioner as to what the intent is behind the new code. And we think that it'll be a tremendous help. And we would urge that you not only pass the new code, but also as a legislative intent, pass out the official comments. I believe that my staff had sent over a fiscal note that had a fiscal impact on it. That fiscal impact would only be in place if the proposed amendments were not adopted. Other than if the amendments before you were adopted and passed through, there would be no fiscal impact within the code. I'm open for any questions.
How many, I know we've mentioned in testimony that many of the Navy corporations have been contacted, I think Alaska Airlines, and so how many small corporations have been involved in this, or if they have a number, or?
I would have to refer to probably Mr. Regan on that. I believe that notice went out to all of them immediately.
We did not make any general mailing to all corporations. There are 12,000-15,000
sure.
corporations, and we did not do so. We different members use ways to reach professional through professional associations, reach the number of corporations, and using seminars, but no general mailing was made.
So, no small corporations really had been involved in this. I mean, that you have aware of. If you'd like to come forward to
other than those that would have attended a bar association seminar at the bar convention and seminars that were given in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and by tape in Juneau, to my knowledge, I cannot
sure.
specifically name any corporations that attended meetings and of the commission itself and participated.
Mr. Chairman?
If I can just respond briefly, the lawyers of all the corporations in the state are aware of this, and that includes a number of small ones. The various professional associations, contracting associations, and other smaller specialty contracting associations, also were provided either formal or informal notice of, and it's been going on for over 2 years. And there's been a number of individuals that have small corporations have made comments. There was no mailing to all the corporations because I suppose there might be some individuals who incorporated and haven't really thought about it again that may not have received notice. But anybody who is doing business by this time is aware of.
Thank you, Representative.
Yeah, question perhaps to Senator Rubio. How about CPA organizations? Has there been any direct involvement?
I can't answer for the commission, but I can answer personally that I've talked with CPAs, and they are Johnson Moore in particular was one firm, and the association is aware of the ongoing nature. This doesn't deal with professional corporations, so their interest is somewhat limited, and is generally limited to that of the clients that they have.
Mr. Chairman, yes. If I might respond to that a little bit. When my staff or myself talk to the various corporations, small or the practitioner, the legal practitioners, with any particular problem with or anything that was not too clear with the present act, we referred them to the Alaska Code Revision Commission and the effort that was being done on that. In other words, in every opportunity where there was a question that was brought up as to the intent or whether there's an interpretation involved, we address them to the Alaska Code Revision Commission.
Mr. Any questions? Representative Wendy?
Are we in possession of Senate Bill 246?
Not yet.
No, sir.
What is it?
It is in judiciary through the chair. And is it's passed out of comments with the amendments that you have for you adopted. It's in judiciary is right to waive that bill. It should be I'm hoping it'll be on the floor within weeks. The Senate is desirous of passing. We spent a great deal of time last week on the bill. And the Commerce Committee as in our body is viewed as the primary committee of jurisdiction and passed by the Commerce Committee so committee approval and for action.
Just a comment that I'm okay with the whole profit making and a non-profit. And within the last 2 years, I remember that we received notice of these seminars, but I can't tell you who sent them, unfortunately. Well, that's okay. No more questions.
Thank you.
Yes, it's my intention to have another hearing on this bill, I would like to contact the press next week, or we will schedule, and then we will deal with the bill, with the amendments. And, I think Representative Furness has indicated some desire to look into the director aspect that we talked about, the liability and things of that nature. So,
by your leave, I would be available to sit down informally before the committee meeting and
sure.
And talk about the issue, so that when we have a meeting, we can have them all out on the table, and perhaps even have Mr. Fessler on the phone, who's
yes.
perhaps one of the foremost authorities, and also under the reference of the commission.
What do you think?
My pleasure, Mr. Chairman.
Here's my only comment, I guess, to the Senator would be, I don't expect our Judiciary Committee with a makeup the way it is. It would probably spend a considerable amount of time on the bill as well, which is a concern I would assume.
I appreciate your comment through the Chair. That is, of course, the prerogative of the committee and the committee chairman.
That committee chairman in particular.
I don't never...
You can't
property,
I don't expect a response, Senator.
you don't attend the judiciary meeting?
Oh, yes, I do.
If there's nothing more to come forward, committee, I think we'll adjourn this time. But, Walt, on this, mm-hmm. on this very, well, come on.
Yeah, okay.
Dick, I'll give you a call a little later today, okay?
Working as the electrician with old radio, let's say, the lights and the microphone and stuff. That was my view of that.
Do you have any concerns or that on the bill? You might correct some of the walls off the line off.
Personally,
I thought I'd probably know the best about the site.
Probably not.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm up with Kevin Bill.